your safety as well. Lord, we pray that you just bless this service and your word. And thank you so much for this anniversary day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, if you could please open up your hymnals and turn to song number 208. We'll be singing song number 208, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Then that's song number 208.
Welcome, everyone, to Faithfulward Baptist Church. It's great to see everybody out this morning. If you'd like a bulletin, just go ahead and lift up your hand, and one will be brought to you. Of course, as always, we have our service times there on the back. We'll be back this evening at 5:30 p.m., and then again on Thursday at 7 as we go through the book of Genesis. We'll be in chapter number 34 this week. There's some soul-winning times below that, as well as the salvations and baptisms for both the month and year. And, of course, we're semi-celebrating the birthdays this morning. We've got a couple of September birthdays listed there. So take note of that. Typically, we have donuts the first Sunday of the month to celebrate those or to honor those that are celebrating their birthday that month. You know, there's no greater honor to be bestowed upon you than a wad of sugary dough. But we're going to kind of pass over that this morning just because of the fact that we're having also our potluck meal after the service in honor of our 6th-year anniversary. So if you were anticipating birthday donuts this morning, you're just going to have to settle for brisket. You know, I don't know what to tell you, okay? So maybe we'll to me, that's you just leveled up big time, okay? So, but maybe we'll hit the donuts next week for those that were anticipating that and still make sure those September birthdays are honored as they ought to be. But as I mentioned, we're having our six-year anniversary this morning, so congratulations to our church on 6 years. We're still going strong, so it's been, just very quickly, just let everyone know it's been a real honor and pleasure to serve here with everybody in Tucson, and I look forward to many more years doing just that. So that'll do it for announcements. Let's just go ahead and sing one more song before we get into the preaching this morning.
Song number 146, A Shelter in the Time of Storm, and then song number 146.
Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and be destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it might be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thy enemies from before thee, and as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What meaneth the testimonies, and the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord our God hath commanded thee? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that it might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for your precious word, for our deacon. Pray you a blessing, Holy Spirit. Help you to show us, help us to listen. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. We'll be back here in Deuteronomy a few times this morning, so you're going to probably just keep something there. But I am going to be preaching through Mark this morning. We've been going through the book of Mark, passage by passage, not necessarily chapter by chapter, for several months now. So we're going to...
Am I good? All right. So we're going to continue on in that. Of course, in Mark chapter 12, we had, you know, the Herodians are coming to Jesus with the Pharisees and questioning him about whether or not it's lawful to pay tribute. You have the, the Sadducees coming and they're, you know, asking about the resurrection and things like that. And then, of course, here in verse 28, you have another scribe that's coming to him and posing yet another question to him. And while the other two questions that were kind of posed to him were kind of, they're trying to trip him up. They're trying to catch him in his words. You know, I believe in that this guy in Mark 12, verse 28, the scribe that's coming to him, is actually being pretty sincere. I think he's probably a good guy, decent guy. He's just having a sincere question. And he asks this question in verse 28. It says, And one of the scribes came, having heard the reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? So he's asking him, Jesus, what is the first commandment? Now, obviously, he doesn't mean the first commandment in the litany of what we call the Ten Commandments, because that would be pretty obvious, right? Thou shalt not have any other gods before me, right? That's a pretty, basic trivia question to pose to a guy like Jesus. He's hearing him, answering him well. So what he means by the first commandment is, as it says in Matthew 22, verse 36, a parallel passage, Master, which is the great commandment of the law, meaning what's the most important, what's the first, the principal, the primary, what's the main commandment that we need to obey? What's the greatest commandment? What's the first commandment? That's what he means by that when he says the first commandment. What's the most important commandment? He's not asking him, what's the first, what's number one, what's number two, and so on. And of course, it says in verse 29, And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, where the Ten Commandments are actually listed, you'll notice that that's not what it says there, right? It actually gives us the litany of the Ten Commandments in those passages. But Jesus here is saying that the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, our Lord, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And so what he's saying is that this is the most important commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and with all thy strength. Okay, and then he goes on and says, I'm not going to cover it this morning, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, for in these hang all the commandments. I'm kind of paraphrasing there, I know. But he's saying that, the most important two commandments is to love God and then to love thy neighbor as thyself, because if you endeavor to do those two things in your life, you're going to pretty much fulfill all the other commandments. If you think about the list of the Ten Commandments, the first four are in regards to God. Thou shalt not have gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So those first four, those kind of all pertain to God, right? And then you have the latter half of that list, which pertains to our neighbor. Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet, right? So those, you know, the Ten Commandments are really broken up into these two commandments. You could group all the first four into love the Lord thy God. You know, if you love God, you're not going to take his name in vain. You're not going to make a graven image. You're not going to bow down and worship it. You're not going to have any other gods before him. You're going to remember the Sabbath day. You're going to keep it holy. You're going to honor God in your life if you love him. And the second commandment, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself, is contained, you know, that contains that latter half. You know, if I love you as my neighbor, I'm not going to kill you, right? Say, so how do I know Deacon loves me? Well, I haven't killed you, right? You know, I haven't stolen anything from you. You know, we're not committing adultery with one another's spouses. You know, I'm coveting your stuff and things like that. You know, that's how you know I love you, right? Obviously, if somebody is doing those things, you cannot say of them that they love you, right? So that's, I'm just kind of explaining what he means by, you know, what is the first commandment and the second being like unto it. The commandment, really, these two commandments, they sum up the Ten Commandments. And he's saying of this first one, that to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength is the first one. It's the most important one. As he says in Matthew 22, verse 38, is the first and great commandment. Look, we have to get this down in our Christian lives. If we want to live lives that are blessed by God, we have to understand this commandment, to love God. You know, that is the commandment. And by the way, that's a commandment, right? It's not just a feeling. It's not just something that, you know, you just experience or whatever. It's not just a relationship. You know, we are commanded to actually love God. And love, you know, is a verb. It's an action. It's something that you have to do. It's something you have to purpose to do in your life. The love of God is not something that just comes naturally to us. The love of God is not something. I know when we're saved, the Bible says in Romans that the love of God is spread abroad in our, is shed abroad in our hearts. You know, we have the potential to love God, and of course we do love God to some degree if we understand the gospel, right? We understand that Christ loved us. But we need to learn to love God in our lives. If we're going to make it for the long haul, you know, we're here celebrating our 6-year anniversary as a church. And it's a great event. It's a great event that we've made it 6 years. You know, a lot of churches don't make it this far. You know, a lot of churches peter out 5, 6, 7 years. Here we are 6 years in, and we're still going strong. You know, if we want to continue on as a church, if we want to continue on as believers, you know, who are blessed of God, of course, we'll always be saved, you know, no matter what. But if we want to have the blessing of God in our lives, you know, we have to learn to love God. We have to make loving God the most important thing in our lives, okay? You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, Jesus said it's the first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God, and not a little bit, right? He said, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, right? To love God with everything that you have. That's what the greatest commandment is. It's the first one. It's the most important one. So I do want to talk about that a little bit this morning. This first commandment, the love of God, you know, it precedes these Ten Commandments that were given. You know, you ask people, you know, what are the commandments of God? That's the list they're going to go to. But, you know, we won't perform a lot of those other things if we don't have this first one down. You know, if you don't love God, you're not going to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's not going to be that important to you, right? Now, obviously, we're not celebrating the Sabbath. We don't honor or, you know, observe the Sabbath, rather, as they did back then, you know, being the last day of the week. We, in the New Testament, use the, you know, the example that is given to us in the resurrection, given to us in the book of Acts by the early church, where they gathered together on the first day of the week, being Sunday, right? So my point is, though, that if you don't love God, you know, we're not going to keep these other commandments. And, you know, there's some pretty important commandments in there, right? Let's just focus on those first four. You know, we are not to, you know, have any other gods before him. You don't want to commit idolatry. Okay, now obviously literal idolatry is a thing. You know, we know about that here in Tucson, you know, with all the Catholic Church, which is an idolatrous church, which is making graven images, which, by the way, is why in the Catholic Church they split the last commandment into two. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's stuff, basically. They split that because they remove, you know, the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. The Catholic Church conveniently removes that from their Bible, from their teaching, from their catechism, and then that leaves you with 9 commandments, so you have to split up the 10th, okay? My point being is that we know something about literal idolatry here, but obviously it's not something we're participating in as Baptists. You know, we don't believe in venerating or worshiping, you know, graven images. God repeatedly, if there's one commandment that God just harps on over and over in the book of Deuteronomy, especially where we were this morning, it's not having false gods, having false idols, making literal graven images. God calls that an abomination. He detests that. I don't want to go into all that this morning. We're not really guilty of that here, but you know, in our lives, even as you know, God-fearing, God-loving, you know, independent fundamental Baptists, you know, other things could become a form of idolatry in our lives. You know, we could become idolatrous when it comes to money. You know, the Bible says that covetousness is a form of idolatry, that the love of money is the root of all evil, right? So if we make money an idol unto us, you know, we're kind of breaking that commandment. And I'm just saying this morning that if we don't get this first commandment down, you know, we're kind of leaving ourselves open to that. You know, if we don't want to put God first and love God first, there's a real strong potential that in some way, you know, we're going to violate one of these commandments. You know, we might not fall for that latter half. You know, we're not going to go out and commit a murder and adultery and all these other things, hopefully, because there's real world, you know, consequences. You know, hopefully that's not the only thing keeping you away from being an adulterous murderer, but you know, we're probably more prone to do the first half, right? The other things, which are those other commandments, which are pertain unto God, right? If we don't love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, you know, we might find it easy to say, well, you know, what's the big deal about, you know, taking the name the Lord, the Lord's name in vain? What's the big deal about, you know, not being consistent in church? You know, why do I don't need to go to God's house? You know, people have all kinds of weird ideas when it comes to church attendance. You know, people think, oh, I go out into nature and that's my church. No, it's not. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The house of the living God, the Bible says in 1 Timothy, is the local church. This is the house of God this morning, okay? So, you know, if we're going to love God, we should be in church. And we should be there to hear the preaching of the Word of God. We should be there to participate in the worship of God, singing, you know, the hymns out, fellowshipping one with another, going out and serving God, right? It takes a lot of strength to go out and preach the gospel. But that's what we ought to be doing. You know, that's what we're commanded to do, is to go and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, and there's many other things that we're commanded to do in Scripture. And if we don't do them, you know, we might want to be checking our hearts out. You know, if these things are things that have kind of fallen by the wayside, and we're not really fervent about them, we're not really excited about it, it's not really something that we're into or whatever, or it's way down in our list of priorities, and there's other things that are coming before it. You know, the problem might be, it might not be that, you know, it's the church, it's the preacher, it's the other people there. The problem just might be your heart. The problem might be that your heart isn't right with God, that you don't love God. Now, no one would just come out and just blatantly say, I don't love God, right? That'd be a pretty bold thing to say. But, you know, here's the thing is that, you know, whether or not you love God is pretty obvious. It's obvious if you love God or not, you know, and the degree to which you love God, it can kind of, you can kind of tell sometimes, right? If you would, go over to, are you still in Deuteronomy? I think I had you there.
Yeah.
Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. So that's kind of all introduction, right? Why should we want to have this first commandment down? Because if we don't get this one down, we're going to let these other things slide. You know, we're not going to be doing the things that we ought to be doing. And if that's us this morning, and look, I don't know, maybe everyone here is just on fire for God and just zealous of the things of God and just loves God. You know, I hope that's the case. But, you know, chances are, you know, over 6 years of being a church, there's probably people that have been here for all that time whose love for God has waxed and waned over those years. And you might even be at a low point this morning, right? You might be kind of going through maybe a low season in your spiritual life where you don't love God like you ought to. Well, you know, you need to work on rekindling that. You need to work on getting that love of the Lord, you know, stoked again in your heart. Get that flame going again. Get that zeal back in your life. Because it's important. Look, it's the first commandment. It's the greatest commandment. It's to love the Lord thy God. And, you know, if we don't love God, we're not going to do a lot of these other things. Of course, everyone would probably say that, you know, they love God. No one would just boldly come out and say, I don't love God, right? And I'm sure everyone here to some degree does love God. But sometimes I think we might conflate loving God with just kind of appreciating God. There's a difference between appreciating something and loving it, right? I mean, I appreciated the guy at Walmart yesterday, the employee who told me where the, you know, the aluminum pans were in housewares, where I, you know, where section H was, where I could find the canned heat. I appreciated that guy, right? I don't love him though. I don't even know his name. I didn't even take the time to read the name tag. And I'm not going to write him a Christmas card. You know, hey, just, you know, I was there, you know, the last day of August this year, and you helped me find the serving pans. I love you, man. All right? No, it's just going to be, hey, I appreciated that, right? But, you know, and I'm kind of making a joke, but that's not really, you know, but that's, sometimes I think people, if they really search their hearts, that's kind of the attitude they have got with God. I mean, I appreciate the fact that I'm saved. I appreciate that I have a church to go to when I feel like it. I appreciate that I have a Bible to read when I feel like it. I appreciate it. I have the opportunity to go out and serve God and earn rewards if I feel like it. You know, I appreciate that God's made some opportunities for me to serve him. But, you know, the person that loves God, you know, sees that more as an opportunity. They see that as an obligation. Hey, I love God. You know, I want to show God I love him. I want to be in church. I want to read my Bible. I want to open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. I want to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ unto the heathen. Right? That's something that some people have because they love God. Right? There's a difference between appreciating somebody and just loving them. You know, on our wedding anniversary, I'm not just going to tell my wife, yeah, I appreciate her. That's going to be a rough anniversary right there. That's going to be a tough one. It's going to take more than, you know, a box of chocolates to smooth that over. Right? You know, but I appreciate my wife? Of course. I appreciate all the things my wife does for me. But you know what? I also love my wife. Right? So you can see there's a difference there. So this morning, you know, the question is, you know, are you keeping the first commandment? Because if you're not keeping this one, you know, there's some other things that are probably not, you're not keeping either. You know, you're probably keeping those last five commandments all right. You're not killing anybody. You're not doing all these wicked things to your neighbor, right? But what about the more important ones? And yes, they are more important. Because Jesus said it's the first commandment and the second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. He said the first one is to love the Lord thy God. You know, and it's more important because if people were conscious of the fact that there is a holy God and they wanted to please him, they, you know, they wouldn't do these other things to their neighbor either. Okay, because man was made in the image of God. So, you know, you might be here this morning and wondering, do I love God? Am I keeping this first commandment? Well, you know, our love is measurable. You know, we can look at our lives, as I said earlier, and it'll be obvious to us. Maybe not to everybody around us, but it will be obvious to us, if we're honest, whether or not we love God. Because our love is measured by obedience. If you're there in Deuteronomy, go to chapter 10. I don't know if we looked where I had you go, but go to Deuteronomy chapter number 10. I took a big pull off of Americano right before I got up here this morning. You know, Brother Gabriel's kind enough to get me an Americano. So if I'm a little scattered and a little excited and a little more wide-eyed than normal, it's the Holy Spirit and the caffeine that's kind of kicking in, okay? So I'm just like flying through these. I don't even know where we're at right now. But I'm excited to get where we're going. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him." So you see where that lands there, the love part? It comes after fear and walking in all his ways. You know, we can't say that we love God if we don't fear God. We can't say that we love God if we're not walking in all his ways. You know, it's interesting to me in the book of Deuteronomy, where God is just, you know, reiterating all these commandments and just laying all these things out. You know, Moses is reiterating all the things that were told unto him in the mount before the children of Israel go in to the promised land. He's kind of giving them, you know, a very long sermon, right, in the book of Deuteronomy. But it's interesting to me that that's the book, right? The book with all these commandments about don't do this and make sure you do that and observe this and don't forget this and all these things, just so many commandments. It's also the book that probably, at least in the Old Testament, talks more about loving God than any other book. That's not a coincidence. Because if we love God, you know, we're going to keep his commandments. You know, that's how we know whether or not we love God. It's not just, well, I know I love God because, you know, I get a warm feeling in the pit of my stomach. You know, I have this, just because I say so, whatever. Because, you know, love is a verb. It's an action. There's things that you do for the people that you love. You do things for them, okay? You do things to please them, right? And God says, hey, you need to walk in my ways. You need to fear me and to love him. He goes on and says, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, right? So we're told to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we're told in that same book also to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul. So do you see how serving God and loving God go together? That's why I say, you know, it's kind of obvious sometimes if you're somebody that loves God. You know, over the years, I've heard people, you know, just say kind of in conversation, you know, someone will come up in conversation and someone will say, well, you know, that guy loves God. He just loves the Lord. It's like, well, how do you know that? Did you ask him? Did you find like a book of poems he wrote to God? Like, you know, did you intercept a love letter that he wrote or something? Or did he take you aside and tell you that he loves God? No, it's because sometimes you can just look at people and look at the way they're living their lives, look what's important to them, and you can just tell whether or not they really love God or not. You know, you could tell that, you say, I don't know about that. Well, I mean, you could probably tell that about some people's marriages, right? I mean, I get some people are really good about putting up a front and things and all that. But, you know, if two people are bickering and fighting and hating each other and, you know, and threatening divorce and all these other things, would you say they really love each other? You'd probably be a safe bet to say, you know, those people don't love each other. In fact, you could find married couples where you could very confidently say and accurately that they actually hate each other because of the what? How would you know? Because of the things that they're doing to one another, the way they're treating each other, right? So we can say with some confidence that your love of God is obvious, at least to yourself, if nobody else. I mean, you know your heart. You know whether or not you love God. But if we love God, then we will be serving God. You know, we'll be keeping these commandments. We'll be doing these things. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Again, Deuteronomy is just a book full of commandments, and it's also a book that is just chock full of the love of God. Our love for him, not his love for us. Because sometimes the Bible uses that phrase, you know, the love of God. And we have to determine, is he talking about the God's loving us, or is it the love of God that we love him, right? But in Deuteronomy, it's our love towards him quite often. Therefore, it says in verse 1, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And we would, you know, so many people just want to put a period right there. Oh, that's easy. You know, just say I love God. You know, just tell people I'm a Christian every now and then. You know, I'll go to church on Christmas and Easter, and God will know I love him. And that'll be good enough, right? And then I can tell everyone I love God, right? Nope, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Always. You know, that means you're going to have to do it all the time. You're going to keep these things. That's how you know you love God. And you say, well, what's the point of loving God? Well, one, it's a commandment. It's the first commandment. Are there any other commandments you would like to just throw out the window this morning? I mean, if we're going to throw out the love of God, it's like, well, what other commandments do you want to get rid of? You know, that whole thing about killing people, it's kind of old. You know, it's outdated. It's Old Testament, right? Thou shalt not kill. Have you seen the way people drive in this town? You know, obviously we're going to keep these commandments. But it's funny that people, they throw out the love of God pretty easily. Almost subconsciously sometimes. So what's the point? Why should I love God? Well, one, it's a commandment. And two, how about some incentive this morning? Rather than just being harped at. You know, obeying God leads to the blessing of God. You know, if you obey God, you're going to be blessed by God. You know, and this is kind of paradoxical. If we love God and we serve God, then he blesses us and then we love him more, right? Because we start to realize how much God loves us. When we see God start to do things on our behalf and we start to think about how God has blessed us in our lives. Look, I don't care how much you love God. It will never compare to how much God loves you. You know, God's not just up in heaven like, love me, you know, obey, love, rah, you know, just like angrily demanding that we love him. It is commanded of us, but, you know, it's for our own good to love God. You know, God says, hey, you love me, I'll bless you. And by the way, if we choose not to love God and not serve him, you know, God will chasten us. The Bible says he chastens every son whom he receiveth. Neither is there any son whom he chasteneth not. In fact, the Bible says that if we be without chastisement, then we are bastards and not sons, meaning we're not saved. You know, if you're a saved Christian and you opt out on the love of God and serving God, God's not just going to let you go scot-free. And sometimes Christians get this in their head. Well, you know, I'm just not going to serve God. I'm not going to love him. I know I'm his child and he loves me, but I'm just going to do my thing and do whatever I want. It's like, you got another thing coming. You are not your own. You are bought with a price, as the price of a lamb without blemish, without spot. You know, you've been redeemed through the blood of Christ. You know, the Bible says you're not your own, okay? Therefore, glorify God in your members. But obeying God leads to the blessing of God. If you look there in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13, and it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God. So there it is again. He's like, if you keep the commandments diligently, and what were they again? What were those commandments? To love the Lord thy God. This is the first and greatest commandment. And to serve him with all your heart. So it's action that we take when we love God. And with all your soul, that I will give you the rain out of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And obviously he's speaking to the nation of Israel at this time, right? But we could apply this to ourselves on a personal level. You know, if we want God to bless our lives, we need to love God and to serve him, because that's part and parcel with loving God. That goes together. Those are the same thing. Loving God and serving God, you know, they are, they're the same thing, basically, right? We got to make sure we do that on an individual level. But again, he's speaking to a nation. And he's saying, you know, if you diligently keep these commandments, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you abundance, right? And you know, I believe that's why our nation has been blessed, that we're still kind of living off this residual blessing to a large degree that, you know, those that came before us kind of ensured for us, right? Because there was a Christian time, this was a Christian nation, people love God. But, you know, that's starting to kind of go by the wayside a little bit, isn't it? You know, people are actually becoming quite hostile towards the Bible, quite hostile towards the things of God. I'm not ready to say that, you know, everyone out there just hates God. There's probably, you know, a lot of people that genuinely care about the things of God, respect the Bible, respect Christianity in this country. But, you know, we ought to be concerned when we see people wanting to throw the Bible out of public spaces. They don't want to acknowledge God. You know, and then things start to get a little tight and people start to wonder why this is happening. Okay? Well, maybe it's because we as a nation have stopped loving God the way we should. Anyway, I don't want to get all political on us this morning. You're probably getting enough of that throughout the week. But look at verse 22. He says, "For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto him." You know, that's the same language that the Bible uses when it comes to a husband and wife. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh," right? That's, you know, he's saying the same thing. You got to love God like you're more than you'd even love your spouse. You know, I can't be the husband I'm supposed to be for my wife if I don't love God the way I'm supposed to. So obeying God leads to the blessing of God, okay? Now, if you would go to 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to kind of circle back to what I said earlier where I said that the obedience of God or the love of God is obvious in our lives. That was just some kind of incentive for you to love God. Why should you love God this morning? Not just because it's a commandment. You know, God commands us to love him so that he can bless us. Think about that. God's saying, hey, you love me, you serve me, you cleave unto me, you serve me with all that you got, and I'll bless you for it. I mean, does he really have to bless us? You know, even if God didn't bless us, would we still love him? I would hope so. I'd hope you say, well, I just love God because he's God. What's not to love? God is great. God is good. But the thing is that God is so good that even though he does not, it's not even required of him. He's like, you love me and I'll bless you. Does it sound to you like God wants to be loved? Think about that. God wants us to love him so that he can bless us. But as I started to say earlier, you know, your obedience or your love of God is obvious. If you look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar." You know, if we say, I love God, but then we hate, you know, our brothers in Christ, our sisters in Christ, We're a liar. We don't love God. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You know, and you could even expand this brother to beyond, you know, just your brothers and sisters in Christ. You could expand this out into the world. You know, if we're just cursing everybody, we're just, you know, mad at everyone, we don't love people in this world, the unsaved and saved alike, you know, those people are still made in the image of God. That guy that cut you off in traffic, that lady that gave you a dirty look at the grocery mart or whatever, you know, they're still made in the image of God. They're still your neighbor. That nasty coworker, you know, whoever. All those people that, you know, you have an axe to grind with, those people are still made in the image of God. They're still your neighbor. And if you can't love those people, can you really say you love God? Because those people are made in the image of God. God loves them. Sometimes we should think about, you know, the people that we're angry and upset with or we have a dislike for, we need to realize that God loves them. That God still loves them, you know, and if we want to love God, then we need to love the people that he loves too. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8, if any man love God, the same is known of him. It's known whether or not you love God. You know, even if it's not obvious to people around you, God knows whether or not you love him. You know whether or not you're loving God the way you ought to. Go to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. It's obvious whether or not we love God through our obedience, through whether or not we're doing the things that God has commanded us. 1 John chapter number 2, verse 15. Love not the world, none of the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Right? Now again, as I said earlier, when it's the love of the Father, the love of God, it could be either one of two things, either our love for him or his love for us. In this instance, I believe it's talking again, like in Deuteronomy, our love towards him, right? If we're busy loving the world and all the things that are in the world, there's no room for the love of God, right? The love of God is not in him. If any man love the world, the love of God is not in him. Because Jesus said you cannot serve two masters, right? You cannot serve God and mammon. God and money, basically, is what that is. You cannot serve two masters, for you either will love the one and despise the other, or you will cling to the other one and forsake the other. And again, I'm paraphrasing. But we all know the parable. You cannot love God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. And if we're busy loving the things of the world, caring about the things of the world, loving mammon more than God, then the love of God is not in us. God still loves us, but it's obvious that we don't love him. At the very least, it's obvious to yourself, and it's certainly known of God. If any man love God, it is known of him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know, and the world passeth away. And the things in this world are going to perish. You know, if we're busy loving the things of this world, you're loving something that is going to will have no merit or have any eternal value whatsoever. That's why Jesus said to set your affection on things which are above, to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, right? Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. If we make our lives all about the things of this earth, so we're just busy loving the things of this world, what are you going to have to show for it? Nothing. You know, our obedience is obvious through our love of God. The love of the Lord is obedience. If we love God, we'll keep his commandments. That's what Jesus said in John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus, right? That's pretty basic. How do you know if you love God this morning? Are you keeping his commandments? You know, that's really the test of it right there. Go to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Look at verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Saying you're going to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? If you love him that begat, which is God, then you will love those that are begotten of him. Right? You're going to love other saved believers. You know, if we have to drag ourselves to church, if we have to like force ourselves to be around the brethren, you know, that's, you know, we got to ask ourselves, do you really love God at that point? Because if you love God, you're going to love others that are begotten of him. Okay. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. How do you know if you're loving your neighbor? How do you know if you're loving God the way you ought to? If we keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. So why would anybody not love God? Because they're too busy loving the things of this world. And when they start to think about what it means to not love the world and love God, they just see a bunch of rules. They just see a bunch of commandments. They go, oh, what a downer. Right? Because the Bible, you know, commands things that are in opposition to your flesh. There's things that your flesh is going to absolutely hate about the Bible. There's going to be things that your flesh does not like about this church or the preaching that comes across this pulpit because we're preaching the Bible here. The world doesn't like to be told, hey, you shouldn't be a fornicator, that you shouldn't be an adulterer, that you shouldn't be a drunkard, that you shouldn't be covetous. These are the sins of the flesh. And there's pleasure in sin for a season, right? People live for the world. They live to be drunks. They live to be high. They live to be living in fornication. They just want to, you know, satisfy every craving of the flesh, every moment that they get. And you know what? You can't do that and love God. The Bible's against those things. You can't walk in the spirit and in the flesh at the same time. These things are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But the Bible says His commandments are not grievous. So if you're sitting there and thinking, well, I like getting high, and I like getting drunk, and I like, you know, fornicating, and I like not going to church, and I like not serving God, and I don't want anything to do with a bunch of rules, people telling me what to do with my life. You know what? Then you think God's commandments are grievous, and you don't love Him. That's fine if you feel that way, but don't turn around and say you love God, because you don't. And it's obvious that you don't. Because you don't want to keep His commandments, and you think His commandments are grievous. I mean, it's pretty on the nose, isn't it? It's not, we have to wonder what it means to love God. You keep His commandments. And if you find that to be such a drag on your life, then the problem is in your heart. The problem is you. Say, well, you know, I'll just find some other God to love. There is no other God to love. You know, this is another thing that's just throughout, you know, Deuteronomy, Isaiah repeats this repeatedly. There is none else. I am the Lord. There is none else. This is who God is, whether you like it or not. This is who God is. He's holy, He's righteous, He's just, and He's good. And He's loving. This is the God of the Bible. This is the true and living God. I probably had you turn away from Deuteronomy. If you have something there, you can go back there. But I'll read to you from Deuteronomy 6. He says in verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. You shall not go after other gods. Not because there are other gods, but because those are false gods. Of the gods of the people which are round about you. Notice those gods are little g, right? For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. And jealousy today has kind of a negative meaning, right? Because we don't use it the way the Bible uses it. Jealousy in the Bible is actually a good thing. You know, we conflate that with envy today. We kind of make those the same thing. But jealousy is actually a good thing. It's good to be jealous over your spouse. It's good to be jealous over the things that are rightfully yours if someone's trying to take those away, right? And God is saying here that the Lord thy God is a jealous God. He says elsewhere, you know, my name is jealous. He's a jealous God. And when God sees us as His people loving the things of this world, loving things, other things more than Him, and counting His commandments as grievous, that makes God jealous. Because, you know, if you're saved, He bought you. You're His. You're His child. You know, I've used this analogy before, but it'd be like if I went home after work and my kids, you know, had each made their own little Play-Doh dad. You know, I walked in, you know, and they had a little orange dad and a green dad and a blue dad, and all these, you know, different colored Play-Doh dads. And then, you know, I'm trying to talk to my kids, hey, what'd you do today? And they just act like I'm not there, like they just ignored me, like I'm just not even in the room, and they start talking to this Play-Doh dad. You know, they're just putting little eyeballs in it and whatever. And I'm just like, hey, what's up? You know, you think I'm just going to walk away, oh, my kids don't love me. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to smash that stupid Play-Doh. I'm going to wad it up into a giant multicolored ball, and I'm going to throw it away. And I'm going to say, I'm your father. I'm the one who pays the bills around here. I'm the one, you know, I brought you into this world. I'll take you out. No. Right? You know, I'm going to say, hey, I'm your dad. I'm the one you're supposed to be loving. I'm the one that, you know, bought you the Play-Doh, that gave you the table to play in, all that stuff, right? I'm the one that deserves the love that you're giving to this stupid piece of Play-Doh that doesn't even taste good. Why do they call it dough anyway? It's confusing. You think, oh, dough. Ugh, right? No, oh, okay, I'm the only one. I probably am the only one, right? Well, you know, it's better to learn those lessons later than never, right? So that's why I was hitting that espresso before the service, got to get that Play-Doh taste out of my mouth. I'm just kidding. All right, let's not descend into comedy routine here. But what was I saying? There is no other God to love, and God's jealous of your affection. You know, God wants you to love him, and God deserves to be loved. And he says in verse 15, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee. Like, God gets mad. God isn't just this, you know, just this unpersonable force in the universe or whatever. You watch too much Star Wars if you think that. God is a person. Man is made in the image of God, meaning we are an expression of what he looks like. And God has feeling, and God has emotion, and God has personality, and God has a will, and God takes action, and God gets angry. God gets mad. And one of the things that makes God upset is when he sees the affection that is due him being given to other things. This is why this is the first commandment. This is why this is the great commandment. Because loving God is important, and God deserves our love. And when we don't give it to him, you know, he doesn't just take that idly. Well, I'll find somebody else to love. Well, there is no one else. This is who God is this morning. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 30. I'll wrap this up. And again, in Isaiah, he says this over and over again. I am the Lord. There is none else. Well, I don't like God. I don't like what he's like. Well, that's tough. That's who he is. You know, and if you actually spent some time getting to know God, if you actually started getting time reading your Bible, serving God, learning about the things of God, you would probably change your opinion about God. You'd probably start to realize that God is incredibly good. You know, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. I mean, every good thing comes from God. Every good gift descendeth from above, the Bible says in James. And, you know, it comes down from the Father of lights. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God. And, you know, there's people in this world, they don't know God, they're not saved, they don't believe in God, and yet they're benefiting from the goodness of God every day. Think about that. There's people in this world that are cursing God with the breath he gave them. And he's being patient and kind and long-suffering towards those people. You know, and God has just blessed us so immensely in our lives. God deserves to, you know, our service. God deserves our love, our obedience. I will say this, though, as I begin to wrap up, is that, you know, loving God is optional. Why else would he command it, right? If loving God was just something that was automatic, then why would God have to command it? Why would, when Jesus was asked, you know, what's the first commandment, he'd say, hey, it's to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, mind, heart, and strength. Why would God in the Old Testament just repeatedly say, love the Lord, love the Lord, love the Lord, serve God, obey? Because it is optional. It is something that people can pass on. You know, Paul prayed and said to the Thessalonians that the Lord would direct their hearts into the love of God, into the patient waiting of Christ. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. You know, your love of God sometimes needs to be guided and directed. And that's kind of what this sermon is about this morning, right? Let's put up some guardrails in our lives. That's what's so important about church and so important about the Bible. It kind of keeps us from just going off track. You know, we start kind of veering off the road in our spiritual life. You know, then you hit the guardrail of God's word. Oh, can't do that. You know, you're getting covetous, thinking about the things of this world. Your love of God is waxing. You read the Bible, you know, where the love of money is the root of all evil. You read the parables of Jesus about warning about mammon and God and all this. Oh, then you hit this guardrail and you kind of go back. you know, you're contemplating adultery, you're contemplating sin of some sort in your life, and you come to the church and the pastor, the preacher gets up and starts ripping face on some sin, you know, it keeps you on track. And what that's actually doing is directing your heart into love of God, because loving God is keeping his commandments. That's what it means to love God. It's to obey him and keep his commandments. You know, all the mushy stuff comes later. All the, you know, obedience precedes emotion. Emotion will follow obedience. You're in Deuteronomy 30. Look at verse 15. He said, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil." So when he's doling out the commandments, right, there's a lot of talk about the blessing of God. There's a lot of talk about if you do this, God will bless you as a nation, as a people. That's a blessing, right? That's good. But he's saying, I'm also setting before you evil, right? Meaning harm, meaning something that is bad, right? Death and evil. Because if we don't do these things, if we don't keep the commandments, God's going to curse us. God's going to punish us. In that, verse 16, I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. Why should I love God? So you can live and multiply and be fruitful and abound and have prosperity and have the blessing of God. That's a reason to love God. But how does that play out in your life? Through obeying and keeping his commandments. That's how the love of God is manifest in your life. The Lord and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Verse 17, but if thine heart turn away, so thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days in the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. You know what? That's exactly what happened in the nation of Israel too. They got in adultery. They kindled the jealousy of God. They forsook God. They did not love God. And God ended up just punishing them repeatedly. Anyone who's read their Bible knows that. You need to love the Lord if you want to be blessed. And I'm just here to tell you this morning that it's optional. You don't have to love God, but you do have to suffer the consequences for not. That's not, you don't get to choose the consequences. You can make your choices, but whatever those results are, those aren't up to you. And God has forewarned us. God has told us that we need to love him. He said, this is the first and great commandment, to love me. And if you do so, I will bless you. But if you don't, he's already warned us, I will curse you. You can say, well, I don't know that I want to love God and serve God who's just kind of threatening me. Well, too bad. That's who he is. And you can look at it that way. You can take it that way if you want. But the truth is that God wants us to love him so that he can bless us, so that we can live and multiply. And that should make us want to love God and serve him. And whether we love God or not, let me just close by saying this. Go to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. You know, hopefully you've got enough incentive this morning to love God. Hopefully everyone in here already loves God to the max. But the truth is, probably nobody in here can say that, self-included. That, you know, if I were to measure the love of God in my life, it's just at the top. Like, it's just overflowing. You know, if we had a little beaker or whatever, thermometer, it's like bursting with love. Maybe it's close for some of us, I don't know. But, you know, we can always love God more. And if we're here and our love of God has waxed cold, if we don't love the things of God, if we don't love the people of God, you know, we need to address that in our lives. You know, how did this church make it 6 years? Because there's people here that love God. Because newsflash, if I come in here on a Sunday morning and no one's here, I'm not going to keep doing this. You know, I'm not worried about that. I'm just saying. I'm using this as an example, right? If we're going to make it another 6 years, people are going to have to continue loving God. You know, it's the people that make up this church. And people are here this morning, I believe, because they love God. And not just because they heard there's brisket. All right? We're trying to keep that under wraps, under tinfoil specifically, but... But, you know, if you're here, hopefully it's because you love God. Well, you know, you're not going to be here 6 years from now if you don't love God. You're not going to be here 6 months from now You might not even be here in 6 hours for the evening service. No, I get it. Some people have things to go. You can really lay on the guilt right now. But, you know, seriously, though, you know, we're here. We've made it this far because there's people here that love God. Let's keep that going. And, you know, maybe if we've been here for that length of time, you know, if we're an OG in the church or whatever, you know, and our love has begun to, it's, you know, it's just like, oh, yeah, another day at Faithful Word. You know, that's cause for concern. We need to go home and ask God to search and try our hearts and to show us, you know, where our love lies, okay? Because it is optional. You could choose not to love God. People do it all the time. But whether we do or don't, understand this, that God loves you. God loves each and every one of you more than anybody else loves you in this world. That, you know, that's a powerful thought. You say, nobody loves me. No, just kidding. Well, God does. You know, hey, if there's no one else that's loving you, you know God does. But I'm sure we all have people that love us, right? But no matter how much anybody else loves us, we have to understand that God loves us way more. Look at 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What manner of love? He's talking about the type of love, the degree of love. It's, we can't even begin to comprehend the love of God. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be God called God's child. How do you know God loves you? Because he says, you're my child. You know, we who are parents, we think about the love that we have for our children. You know, well, God has an even greater degree of love than that, right? And it's that same kind of love as a love that a parent would have for a child. That's the manner of love, that we should be called the sons of God. How much does God love us? So much so that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And should be born again by faith. That's how much God loves you. He took us, a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners, if we're just being honest, who have broken God's commandments to some degree or another, and has said, you know what? I'll clean you up. You know, I'll wash you in the blood of Christ, and I'll make you my child. And I'll reserve a seat in heaven for you. And I'll seal you with the Holy Spirit. And if you want, I'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. And you can serve me, and you can obey me, and I'll bless you, and you can be a blessing to other people. I mean, that's how much God loves us. And if your love of God has begun to wax cold, one, the warning is, you know, you're probably going to peter out in the Christian life. But if that's the case, the remedy, perhaps, is to sit down and just think about how much God loves you. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew not him. You know, that's the manner of love that God has towards us. And it is optional for you to love God back. But either way, he loves you. And if you're gonna, if you say, you know what, I'm gonna love God this morning. I choose to love God. Here's how you're gonna do it. Like Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we need to do that. Why? Because this is the first and greatest commandment. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the great love wherewith you loved us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to learn to love you more and more. As we walk and obey your commandments, Lord, as we walk in them. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless this church, Lord. Thank you for the 6 years that you've given us as a church body. Lord, I pray you'd give us many more and that they would be years that are blessed, that you would help us to prosper, to be fruitful, and Lord, to be a church that loves you above all other things. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll go ahead and sing one more song.
Song number 44, We'll Work Till Jesus Comes. Again, that is song number 44.